You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Is there any kind of fallout on the markets with this growing feud now between President Donald Trump and Elon Musk?
Well, there was today, and we had a sell-off in Tesla stock, for example, and there was some discussion, about I don't know if it was real threats or no threats about the SpaceX program being canceled, and I guess Elon saying in effect, don't you dare, or I dare you to do it, or stuff like that. In any event, it's all political nonsense. It has to do with, Elon Musk believes that there shouldn't be any debt in the new House and Senate bills that are trying to pass through Congress. And apparently, even though taxes are being cut, there's an increase in the debt ceiling, which is aggravating him and others. And it's just crazy. You have a mixed political situation. The House is controlled by the Republicans barely, and I guess certain concessions had to be made. And the Senate side, you got some rhinos in there, Republicans in name only, who are not necessarily voting with the president. And who knows how it's all going to play out. I assume this is just a bump in the road, and they'll work it out, and they'll kiss and make up, and the Trump-Elon thing will go back to normal. But Elon seems to be pretty adamant about the debt situation. Of course, a lot of people are anyway here in the U.S., and many claim that the rise in the gold market and so forth and the crypto market is because of fear of the future of the U.S. dollar and the economic stability of the country because of the debt and so forth. The reality is that gold tends to rally more on geopolitical stories than on inflation stories. But, many would agree that, our debt is way too high, and we need to just, cut it. And by increasing the debt ceiling, just there's an argument for that. But we're so far in the hole. And the big issue, I'm not an economist, but I read the papers, the interest that we have to pay on the debt is over the top. And how do we fix this? This is multi-generations in building and multi-presidents, and it's just not Trump's fault only. In fact, I think the debt was actually up a little bit even during his first term. And, of course, when Biden came in, it went up more. So despite this, these stock markets and the equity markets have been doing okay. The big bugaboo, of course, is the Federal Reserve. Apparently, there was Trump was actually complaining, I think today, to Jay Powell indirectly, making one of his tweet comments about how we got to get interest rates down and why aren't you doing it and so forth. So that there's another confrontation brewing there. Of course, the speculation has been that come next year, when Powell's term is up, there will be a replacement for him anyway. But that's a long ways away. So we'll see whether Donald Trump's pressure on Powell moves toward lower rates or not. But a lot has to do with what the bond market is doing. It's the old tail wagging the dog. I talked about this before. I'm sure others that you've interviewed have stated that as well. So, what the Fed does with the short-term rates is not necessarily the answer. But in recent days, the 30-year bond has been rallying, which is good because that means the expectation is for lower rates. Now, whether it's, again, as I mentioned, the tail wags the dogs and the Fed is going to follow what the bond market is doing. Usually it is the case. The bond market is actually bigger than the stock market. Many people don't realize that. A lot of money in the bond market exceeds the stock market, but it has been rallying, which, if you're a trader, that's an optimistic point for the equity markets, and perhaps will lead to Powell being convinced that maybe we do need to lower some rates. But, you know, rates coming down is important because we have to pay interest on the debt, as I mentioned, and so forth. So a lot of brewing here. But I do want to back up a second. I mean, I sort of warned about this in the previous interviews, and people sort of laugh when I talk about cycles in the market and seasonal patterns in the market. And I warned that, you know, we're coming into the summer solstice on June 20, 21st, and you tend to get change of directions in the market around those time frame. It's every quarter, of course. You got the summer solstice and the autumn equinox and the winter solstice and the March, the vernal equinox, and, you know, there tends to be change of directions around this time frame. So I sort of warned we're coming into June. Doesn't work on the exact day. It's usually a few weeks either side. And the fact that the market experiencing some indigestion here, and this is in our newsletter, even though I'm a bull and I think we're going to come out of this, I think we're going to new highs during the course of the year, we are in this period, so there's no surprise here that we could get some indigestion, and it's manifesting in terms of an Elon Musk Trump fight, or a Trump Jay Powell fight, or you know, maybe geopolitical issues, what's going on. Apparently Trump and President Xi of China had a conversation, I think it was today, and Trump doesn't seem to be getting along too well with Putin, because Putin you know, is not cooperating, and no one says he has to. He's running his own country, but, you know, there's the Ukraine war still seems to be moving on, and so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of activity, both geopolitically and economically, in this June time frame. So it doesn't surprise me. So I think it ultimately resolved positively, but, you know, it could get worse before it gets better. We'll just have to sort of watch the indicators here. But I'm encouraged a little bit that the bond market is rallying. You know, one of the big stories today was the big push in silver. Gold did not make a new high and still has a lower peak than the previous peak, but silver broke out above that $35 level, which this is a technical level on the chart. So a lot of traders jumped in on that, and it surged above that. Now, whether that's going to continue, we'll see or not. But the silver market seemed to get excited here on that technical breakout. You know, we're in some silver stocks and silver ETFs and have been for a while. So I have no complaints about that. And some of those small silver stocks have performed nicely here with this little pop in silver. So we'll see whether this technical breakout creates even more momentum for silver, and it's long overdue for a catch-up. So that was sort of a big story here in the last 24 hours as well. And in the metals, one of the big stories is a big breakout, and we've been in this and had put it on our recommended list. Platinum broke out today in a big way, and it was up really strong. Palladium had been strong before today, but platinum had a technical breakout as well. So this, on the metal side, even though gold was up a little bit, the big story really was silver and platinum today, and the rally in the bond market. So that seemed to be the offset, I suppose, to the big, you know, sell-off in some stocks. Now, the stock market as a whole, the Dow really wasn't off that much. I mean, for the day, I mean, if you look at the Dow Industrials, it's sort of a bellwether. The market was down 100 points, which is nothing for that. So, of course, there's a lot of, there's 30 components of the Dow Industrials, and there's some big names like Goldman Sachs that were up. So that sort of offset some of the other negatives. But you're seeing it more in individual stocks, you know, like a Tesla breaking big today, for example, because of the Trump-Elon dispute. And since that weighs heavily in the NASDAQ index, you know, the NASDAQ, you know, took it on the chin a bit when you see a, you know, big name, which is a component of that index, sell off. So, you know, that was sort of part and parcel to it. So I'm just checking here as we're on the air and looking at what's going on with some of the other Magnificent Seven stocks. So for the most part, you know, they weren't that bad today. You know, Tesla was down big, 47 points today. But, you know, Amazon was up, Google was up, Microsoft was up, Netflix was up, Meta, which was a former Facebook, was down a little bit. So there really wasn't, you know, overall collapse in the NASDAQ names, with the exception of Tesla, which was, you know, news-driven. So, yeah, interesting day. I think it was just part and parcel to the season, what's happening this time of year, and nothing really unexpected. And if there are some bargains created because of the sell-off, my view would be to take advantage of them.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, anything going on with crude?
I'm still a bear. I bounced a little bit today. Apparently, the increased production from the Saudis, you know, had a short-term effect. Thought that would depress prices more, but I still think, you know, the patterns, the chart patterns overall say that we're in a corrective phase. And I guess wild card here, I guess, is, you know, a sudden breakout in war on a huge scale, you know, that's uncontrollable, but in the Middle East or China, Russia, some kind of event that just forces, you know, crude oil up because of, you know, geopolitical, and that's always a risk. But the chart patterns had said for months that we should come down into the mid-50s, which we did. We bounced, and the same chart pattern said, you know, ultimately this year or next year we could even see the 40s. So I'm not, you know, really excited about crude oil, but, you know, as a trader, I guess if there's a trading opportunity and a breakout, we'll try to jump on board. That said, many of the oil company stocks have done okay. Many pay, you know, good dividends, so there's still a lot of investor interest in some of the shares themselves. But crude oil is, I guess, geopolitically driven. So the Saudis control what the supply is on their end, and, you know, you just got to take it a day at a time. But I think the overall trend has been, you know, with Trump in and the state of the world economy right now, that plus alternate sources of energy. I mean, there is in the works in the next couple of years, you know, a lot of nuclear plants coming on board. It's going to take some time. And natural gas has filled in a little bit for some shortfall of energy needs. Liquid natural gas has done real well. Some stocks in that business, you know, have done well. Liquid natural gas has done well. So there are alternatives to the crude oil here. And I'm certainly not a big proponent of solar or geothermal and all those as being substitutes, but they are out there. Neutral on crude here. It's had a correction going sideways here a little bit. We're just sort of watching, but I'm leaning more to the bear side.
Is uranium picking up?
It did, and now it's pulling back. We had a big surge in uranium stocks last week. Cameco, the big name, Canadian name and U.S. name, rally, but it's been down the last day or two after a big surge higher. Vista Corp and Constellation Energy are the big names. Those are $100 and $300 stocks, respectively. And a lot of small nuclear-related stocks have done well. And this is because of the push into the nuclear area and a lot of talk about it. But the downside is there's a big lead time factor. And even though big companies like Microsoft and others are funding nuclear operations, it just doesn't happen overnight. But in anticipation of that, some of these stocks are doing well, and uranium-related stocks. And some of the uranium companies do other things besides uranium. They provide a lot of, you know, other minerals, rare earth minerals and so forth to some of the low-priced uranium-type companies are also producing other types of metals as well. And a couple of the metal-related stocks that we had on the list took off big. One in particular made some deal with the Saudis, and that exploded to the upside, and that's on our list. And so, you know, yes, it's a growth area. You got to take, you know, longer-term view with them because, it, like I say, the stocks are anticipating the future here quite a bit. But, and I suppose when these plants all get online, the move will be over. So you might have to be looking for a time to get out of these stocks as well. So, but from what I understand, I'm not an expert on the timing of these things, but it does take a couple of years or more. And big nuclear plants can take up to 10 years, but we're talking about more of the, you know, the specialized nuclear smaller operations that are really being funded because the big high-tech companies needed power for their AI operations, and there just wasn't enough power around, so they got behind the nuclear story, which up to this point was a no-no. No one wanted to talk about it. It was blackballed everywhere you bring up the subject, and they're using some natural gas as an interim source of energy. But it's in play, so, you know, trade accordingly. But the stocks anticipate the future, so I guess they'll still remain positive for the time being.
What's going on with cryptocurrencies?
Well, lots been going on. There was a new offering today that came out in the crypto areas. It's a new issue. It's a company called Circle. Went public today. They were ringing the bell on the NASDAQ this morning. I think it opened around 60, went to 106, closed about 80, and they're involved in the crypto business, more what you would call a stable coin part of the business. And I'm not a technical expert on the relationship, but it's part of the system of you know, providing support for the stablecoin, which is a big part of the you know, the crypto world. So that stock took off today, and it's been pending to go public for a while. So that was sort of the big story, because a lot of investor interest in the name of the company is Circle. So you have to research it and check it out. We'll probably put it on our list. You know, it ran up so much, you know, you don't want to chase it, but sometimes some of these stocks that you think are chasing double or triple on you while you're waiting for a pullback. So as far as the other names are concerned, the Bitcoin and all the others seem to have hit a little bit of a trading top here the last few days and start to pull back here the last couple of days. I think it's all temporary, but if you look at the charts, you'll see there's some pullback levels we could see in Bitcoin and some of the other cryptos. But again, this is part of just the normal zigzag pattern that we get in the crypto market. So I'm still looking for, you know, Bitcoin to go substantially higher and many of the other cryptos to go substantially higher. A lot of it, you know, still has to do with some legislation I think just passed, the Genius Act, I think is called, and there's some more pending, and some of my sources said it could carry into mid next year before all the legislation that we need is under our belt, so to speak. So little correction going underway here in the cryptos, part and parcel to the volatility, but the trend's up, so I'm remaining invested.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our popular YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.